This is the last of the formal shirim on Chinuch. There is section two is a different topics as well. I guess perhaps we'll continue there as well if people want. But this is the last technical shir on Chinuch, and this is a major yisod that Rosh Hashanah Hoffman repeats in other areas. And he lays out here, Rabbi Stein lays out really from a number of chaburas, a major idea of the concept of kamayim hapanim lepanim, kein leva adam ladam. Havara rigshis. We're on page 131. What that means is the idea that emotional transference, that the way you feel transfers to another person. And it's not so much about what you say in most cases in life, but rather about how you say it and how you present the idea. So he tells one of the foundational stories that he actually repeats in other chaburas as well about how Rav Isaac Sher came to feel close to Rav Shlomo Hoffman. And the story is as follows. Rav Isaac Sher put a lot of time and a lot of effort into Rav Shlomo Hoffman, talking with him and Musar and Hashkaf and learning a lot of time. And at a certain point, Rav Isaac Sher turns to Rav Shlomo Hoffman and said, "Why do I like you so much? Like, what is it about? Like, why do I feel so invested?" He was just wondering, just like from a Musar perspective, trying to understand what is it. And he couldn't figure out exactly what it was that got him so involved. So he tells the following story. What is it that he came to this conclusion about? He said that Rav Isaac came to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the war, World War II. And he had an apartment near Hebron, which at that time was in Geula. And he didn't really have a job in Hebron. And Ruchaskalan asked him at a certain point to give, you know, sichos in the yeshiva and to talk. And at a certain point, he started a shal shudas sicha that he gave in his apartment in Geula. And people would come to his house to listen to the Chabura. And all different types of people from Hebron, Eitz Chaim, Merkaz Harav, all different types of yeshivas came to listen to this. A lot of Talmid Chacham from the neighborhood. And a young Rav Shlomo Hoffman went as well. And Isaac Sher really didn't know anything about him, had no connections to him, didn't even pay attention to him at all. And there was a bunch of Bachram from Hebron who had a very strong kesher with Rav Isaac Sher. And in the middle of the week, they had a very special vat. It was called the Kluger's Vad, the Vad HaKlugers. A Kluger means a Chacham. Why? Because not that they were smarter, but the Pasuk says that Yiras Hashem hi Chachma. That Yiras Hashem is Nish Frumkeit. Having Yiras Shemayim is not about being from. It's about being Chacham. It's about being a smart person, using your brain to see Hashem, it's in the connection to Hashem. It's here, Yiras Shemayim, up here in the head. It's not so much here in the heart, if you want to grow in Yiras Shemayim. So they called themselves the Klugers, or vice versa, called them the Klugers, because it was about working on Chachma, which is really a step to attain Yiras Shemayim. Okay. Who was in the Chabura at that time? A lot of Chashav Bachrim, Rav Yishai Goldschmidt. Rav Yishai Goldschmidt would go on to become the Av Basin of Tel Aviv. And Rav Avram Farbstein, who was the later Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron. Rav Simcha Zeslabroid would also be Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron. Rav Gedai Eisman, who would become the Mashkiach in Kol Torah under Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Rav Lazer Turtzin, who would be the Rosh Yeshiva in Tashbar, Talmud Torah Tashbar, which is in Bnei Brak. Rav Avraham Shapiro, who would be the Rosh Yeshiva in Tiferes Yisrael in Haifa. Rav Beryl Schwartzman, Rav Aaron Cutler's son-in-law. We're talking about a very significant group of young men who would go on to become, you know, very distinguished Talmidei Chachamim. At a certain point, Rav Shlomo Hoffman's father passed away, and on the Shabbos after that shmooze, he davened mincha at Rav Isaac Sher's house, and he said Kaddish as he was going out. Rav Isaac Sher stopped him by the door as he was telling people good Shabbos. And as I was going by, Rav Isaac Sher said to him, you know, stand on the side, I want to talk to you. And he doesn't elaborate in the story here, but in the other sichos, he talks about that Rav Gedai Eisman, who is his older friend in learning, tried to stand up for him, tried to keep him from Isaac Sher, like bothering him, embarrassing him, and that's not a discussion right now. And Rav Isaac Sher asked him, he said, who are you saying Kaddish for? So he said, I'm saying for my father. And he said, is your mother alive? He said, yeah, my mother's alive. And he said, where does he live? She lives in Haifa. He was trying to find out more about him. And when they finished talking, Rav Isaac Sher said, you know, I want you to, you should come see me in the middle of the week. We should talk and learning. Okay. So Rav Hoffman said, I never went to see him. I didn't go. I was too scared and go to see him. And I didn't really see him again. And I stopped going to the Sichos. I stopped going to the Sichos because I wasn't interested in talking with him. And I stopped going to the Sichos on Shabbos. Erev Rosh Hashanah, so someone comes to me and says, this is Rotsi Broid. He came to me and said, Rav Isaac wants to see you for to get a bracha before Rosh Hashanah. Rav Hoffman didn't go. He wasn't interested in going. Erev Yom Kippur, someone comes to him and says, Rav Isaac Shah wants to see you. And he says, I don't want to go. I don't want a bracha. I'm not interested in going. So finally, Motzi Yom Kippur, Rav Hirsch Paley, who is the Mashkiach in Chevron, said to him, HaRosh Yeshiva Amar, Shelo Ta'iz Linso HaBaisa, Lifnei Shekatakanes Alav. Don't have the chutzpah to go home to your mother for Ben Zman until you come see me. Ooh, okay. So he says, I have to go. So the next day he went, after Yom Kippur, and he went in. They spoke for a number of hours. There's a very beautiful, in the Sichos, in the main sefer of the Sichos from Simcha Stein, there's a very beautiful conversation in which he talks about his mother and he instructs his mother, he instructs young Rav Shlomo Hoffman how to speak to his mother when he goes back and how to give her nachas, and that his mother, was probably crying for him, vaivishetrerin, and you have to appreciate your mother's tears for you, and how he gave her nachas when he went back and made her feel good. That's a schmooze for another time. And then, at the end, he left, and Rav Isaac Sher said, you have to promise you're going to come back and see me when you come back to Yerushalayim. And he said, the first door you should knock on should come to be to my house. And that's how it began. The kasher began. They had a kvius every Monday. He would go to his house for a number of hours. They would talk and learning of Avos Hashem, Musar, learning, sugyas, whatever it was. And after a certain point, he invited him to the Vad of the Klugers, of this Chashav Chabura, and he became really part of this group, even though he was much younger. So he never understood why Rav Isaac Sher liked him so much. He never understood what the connection was. And after a couple of years, so Rav Isaac Sher himself began to ask this question, why do I like Shlomo Hoffman so much? Why am I so interested in him? So he tried to give other explanations. Maybe you like the way I think. He's like, no, that's not it. Maybe you're like, no. Every single time he offered something, he would say, that's not it. So Rav Isaac Sher asked him a question. He said, when I started to be interested in you, you were coming to the Shirim already? She said, yeah, 100%. And you enjoyed them? He said, 100%. I enjoyed the Sichos very much. What happened the Shabbos, the week before I stopped you? Before I stopped you by the door, what happened that week? So he said, honestly, I have no idea. So I was thinking a little bit more, and I remembered, he said, and I told him the following story. He says, the week before that Shabbos, I came and I enjoyed the Sicha in your house, and then the next day on Monday, I was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and there was two Bachrim who were arguing over what exactly Rav Isaac Sher said in that Sicha. What was his point? What was the Mahalach? They were arguing over what the Shmuz was. So they came over to me and they said, were you there? And he said, yeah, I was there. And I clarified for them what the Rebbe said in the Shmuz and what you said exactly. And they got a lot of geshmaka. And I said, oh, that's 100% correct. And they felt that I really explained it properly. So then Rav Isaac Sher said, I know what happened. And he became very calm. He understood what the point was. And everything was right. What happened? He said, kamayim hapanim lepanim. And this is the first time he opened up this concept that you feel attached to somebody who feels attached to you. If you feel a kesher to someone, that person will feel a kesher to you. And he said, I understand. He said that he felt and he saw that he must have been interested in me because I was interested in his shirim. That I got a geshmak and I was interested in the Torah he was presenting, and it felt and it resonated very strong with me. And because I felt that way about Rav Isaac Sher, so in return, Rav Isaac Sher felt to be interested and invested in me. Kamayim hapanim lepanim. The way you feel about another person, not so much what you say to another person, but the way you feel and express emotion towards another person is how they'll express back to you as well. And this yisod, kamayim hapanim lepanim kein lev adam la'adam, so is one heart to another, is a huge yisod. This idea is a major thing that he talks about. And, it's true, I got a lot of hana from his sichos. And she achasti chashivas the sichos. He felt that and Rav Isaac Sher said, you felt that my sichos were chashuv. So therefore, hayachas shilei alav, orer eslo es hayachas kalfi. Your connection to me, that triggered me to be invested and connected to you. And that happened for many, many years. He would come back to this idea again and again. And I saw, says Shlomo Hoffman, that this yisod appears in so many places. And what he's going to do right now is going to show you, we're going to show, learn together, a number of places where this yisod comes up in halacha, hashkafa, musar, that the way you feel at somebody else, will that emotional transference will affect them and will affect you in return. Okay?
What triggered that he should question it all of a sudden? Because there must have been a divide or something.
I don't know if there was a vibe. Rav Isaac Sher was, we see from Shlomo Hoffman, was a very careful thinker. Everything was analyzed. Why am I doing this? What's with this relationship? He was a person who thought deeply about the things in his sphere. It could just be that one day, you know, something triggered and something went off and said, why am I spending so much time with this kid? Like, you know, what is it? Okay. So this idea of emotional transference, he says, for example, he just has a fascinating idea. He says over here on the bottom of the page, he says, lo she'asa l'sheker. It's not that it's usher to lie. He says, lo ozer l'sheker. It doesn't help to lie. He says, if you're a person lies, the other person is going to find a certain point. The emotional transference is going to give away that something is not right. It's not that it's usher to lie, that lying never helps because you're not being true with the person and something's going to be off in your connection with that person you're going to be lying to. So he says over here, let's go through a number of examples that we see in Torah and Chazal, that it's a milsa de pshita that this idea is true. So let's go, number one. It could be that some of these Marmakom are in the chat. I don't remember. I know I sent it out a couple weeks ago. But we have here Tosfos and Psachim. The Gemara says in Psachim, in example number one, what is the halacha that if you're walking on the way and you see an animal under its burden, right, and it's falling, so you have to go and you have to help the animal, right? And we know that if the animal is under the burden, that takes precedence over the person who's just trying to put it back on, right? Prika versus Tina, that's the sig over there as well. And then the Gemara says that, let's say I have a friend who has a more difficult animal who's struggling, but I have an enemy who's in a lighter situation. Who do I go to help first, says the Gemara? You go help your enemy, right? Why do you go help your enemy? Says the Gemara, Lakof es Yitzro Adif. Because you need to work on your midos, and you need to learn to not hate other people. So it's more important to go help the enemy and become nice to him and work on Yitzhara, and not to go help the friend who's in need. Okay? That's what the Gemara in Bava Metzia says. Fine? Everyone's clear on that. Then we have a Gemara Msachim. The Gemara Msachim Kuf Yud Gimel says, how is it mutter to hate? It says, Lo sisnes achicha bilvavecha. So Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explains that we're talking about a person you see who's mamish doing a davar erba bechavera. Mamish is doing a terrible avera. So you have a person, you know you're doing something wrong. You're allowed to hate such a person, right? And it says we have a din of lo yakum eid achad b'ish. I can't testify such a person in court. I can't, if I see one person doing an avera, I can't bring edus because that's going to be incomplete edus. But I have a mitzvah still to hate him. If I see a person, I know for sure a person has done an avera. Okay? It's a mitzvah l'snoso. Shnamar, yiras Hashem sonei ra. It's a mitzvah to hate someone because if you have yiras Hashem, you have to hate which is ra. If you know the person is a bal avera, you have to have a hatred towards that person. Okay. So Tosfos asks a question. Tosfos says, what are we talking about? So what's the case, what's the massive that there's a mitzvah to hate the person? So why is it that the Gemara Bava Metzia says that you should be machtim to help your enemy, right? Instead of your person you like, why? Because you need to work on your midos, right? You need to work on your tzar. Ah, but doesn't the Gemara Msachim say there's a mitzvah to hate your enemy? So if he's your enemy and he did something and there's a mitzvah to hate him, you should feel a mitzvah to hate him. Why am I working on it? I should put on my gartel, go to the mikveh. I shouldn't give aid to sheker to this person, that I should hate him. So what does it mean to work on my midos? What does that mean?
Maybe work on to talk to him.
What?
Work on yourself to talk to him.
Why am I talking to him?
Are you hating him for a reason?
I'm saying
you hate him. And now you have to talk to him and try to convince him to stop doing whatever he's doing.
Tosfos says differently. Tosfos says over there that because you hate him, so the reason you hate him is because gam chaveru sonei oso. Dichsiv kamayim apanim lepanim. This is a pasuk of the halacha, says Tosfos. He says the reason you hate him, the reason there's hatred here, is because you have this hatred towards him, right? And therefore, it comes to the fact that there's a real sinna, right? He says there's a real sinna over there because the person did an avera. So Tosu says that if you hate this person, so and you're shining this feeling towards them, so obviously you feel this, And he obviously hates you as well. If you hate him, then it must be in return, al pi the halach of maim kepanim lepanim, that he hates you in return, right? Has to hate you. Oh, what's the problem? So Tosu says that you have to work on this. So one shot is that you're violating lifnei iver, and you're being machshel him in sinah. Why? Because you're hating him, and therefore by your hating him, you're causing him to hate you, right? And you're causing him to be hated because that emotional transference is going towards him and it's being directed back at you. And the second shot is that because you hate him, you may hate him more than you have to, right? There's a shear, right? You need like a chart, like for the matzah, right? Mm-hmm. There's a shear. How much sinna is mutter, right? What's the correct shear? Is the chaznish? Is the chayim na? You know, what's the proper zman for hating? So you're over the shear. Whatever the improper amount is, says Tosos, it's pasha you're over that amount. You don't know the exact amount as well. And therefore, you have to go back and you have to work on your midos and you have to control it. Because you don't know the exact amount that you have to hate this person, what that shear is exactly. And so he says, Rosh Shlomo Hoffman here, that Tosus is showing us that kamayim panim lepanim is not like it's not a nice expression. It's mamish lahalacha. It's a halacha of how we treat people, that the way you transfer to one person is going to be transferred back to you, and vice versa as well. And you have to be careful about those feelings. Okay, so again, this transferring of emotion is a natural thing, and it's not just a heichi timsa about how we treat people, but mamish is real feelings. And even without saying a word, even without expressing anything with your mouth, they will feel exactly how you feel about them, and they'll get exactly the feeling that you're transferring towards that person, the way you relate to them and how you treat them, and all these things. The person definitely feels that sinna. If you hate another person, you feel hatred to another person, they will sense that. You can't stop it. You can cover it up all you want with all the niceties and all the pleasantries and all the manners you want, but they're going to feel at some point that there's something that's coming from you that they're going to sense is off. Okay, another example. A beautiful Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim writes in Parshas Miketz, Vayakar Yosef es achav v'hem lo hakiru. Famous, right? The Yosef recognized the brothers, they didn't recognize him. Ask Rashi, how do they not recognize him? It wasn't so long ago. You know, so what does Rashi say? He had a beard. Okay, so we read the Rashi, right? He had a beard, and like we move on to the next Rashi. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, what? He had a beard? He has a forehead, he has eyes, he has, you know, a nose. Like, all they could see was the beard? What's going on over here? They didn't recognize him, he had the beard. How is that possible in such a thing?
Most of my high school friends I bumped into lately that have beards, I could usually tell.
You can tell, exactly.
No, he should be wearing the glasses like Clark Kent.
The glasses like Superman. So what's going on over here? So listen to what he says. Listen to what the Rechaim says. The Rechaim says that there was a mental block. There was a mental block. It wasn't just there was the beard. The way they felt towards him was in such a way that this is the person, the kid who dreamed all these chalomos. Oh, please, he's going to come to lead Egypt. They could not have such a havana that this was their brother. It's not possible to feel this way. And they were danim lemisa. He was dead. He was nothing. And therefore, they had closed out in their ability to see him as a gadol. Everything was filed. They couldn't see it. They couldn't feel him in such a way. And it wasn't that it was the beard. It was the whole mahus. Their feelings towards him were in such a way that there was no way he could be it, right? There's a startling medrash. The medrash says that when the brothers went down to Mitzrayim, they said, oh, Efshar, you know, Efshar, our brother's here. Maybe he's alive. He's not allowed to see. What's the medrash? Where did they go look for Yosef? What does the medrash say? In the Beis Hazonos, they went to the most disgusting places. They said, if he's going to be anywhere, that's probably where he's going to be. They had such a picture of their mind and their brother of what he was going to be that they couldn't view him any other way, right? You know, we have someone you went to school with, you know, however many years ago, and that guy, he's not going to be. And now we can't imagine that guy became a CEO. That guy became a CEO. Like, how could you? You can't see it. Because we painted such a hergish in our hearts of what they're supposed to be that we transfer that to say, oh, the guy could just have a beard. And that's the only difference. But we can't see it because we put that emotional transference in deciding what they're going to be. And that's what happened to brothers.
It's similar to what you're saying with the friends and see them, that concept. Like, if you see them in some context, you don't expect it. It's harder to
Right. So I was just going to say, like, a lot of times it'll be like, they'll tell me, oh, hi, it's so-and-so. And then I'll be like, oh, hi. Because, like, you don't recognize them instantly, but as soon as you find out who they are, then you're like, oh, sure, I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly, but it all comes.
You're not putting that head. Like,
correct.
Together.
For sure.
Expecting them to be the,
this position of greatness.
In front of you, like,
yes.
I
good.
Expected all my classmates to be Rosh Hashivas.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, okay, next. Panim Yafos. From the Afla, Parshas Vayeshev. The Pasuk says, V'yimein l'hisnachem. Yaakov couldn't be comforted, right? And Rashi says, Ein adam mekabel tanchumim alachai v'sover shumeis, right? You can't get nechama from someone who's alive, even if I think that they're dead. Right? Because only on a dead person was a gozer that there would be shechacha min alev, that a person would come to forget the person, and that's why it didn't work. So the Panim Yafos asked a number of questions, and he explains that the gzeira that a person who's dead, that we forget about them, comes from the heart. It's not just a stam gzeira. It's the whole reason that you're forgetting them from the heart is because the person is no longer alive. And that person no longer is a kesher to you. Right? The person who's alive, once he's no longer in this world, there's no regish, there's no feeling from that person towards you. And he says the reason this works is kamayim panim l'panim. He says it's not just gzeira from Hashem. The reason I have emotional connection and a longing for a person who has that connection towards me. If the person is no longer alive, so I'm not receiving any transference to that person. But if the person is still alive, then Yaakov sensed that his son was longing for him. He sensed that he wanted his father. And it wasn't just that he was alive and Hashem makes magic if he's alive or he's not alive. But Yaakov could sense that emotional feeling coming from Yosef all in Egypt, and therefore he was never comforted that he was dead. And if a person is misgagea, and you know he wants it, and he wants them very much, that over time these things are going to, you know, if the person is no longer alive, so then those feelings are going to go away. But if the person is alive, then those feelings are still going to be there, and he brings the whole Panim Yafos over here as well. So we see that these feelings, these loves, can even be from far away. It can go from, he writes over here, from Hebron to Cairo, right? You know, Yosef is in Cairo, and Yaakov is in Hebron, and they can feel those things from very far away, from hundreds of kilometers. And this is just the Chukei HaTeva, this is just the way things are. You feel these things. He tells a story here on the side. I don't know if this is Shlomo Hoffman talking, or I don't know if this is Simcha Stein talking over here. No, it's all the same here, but it's just in a box. He tells a story here. I'm not sure who the protagonist is here, but he says his mother never visited him in yeshiva, and one day he was lying in bed, and he had a very high fever, and there was a knock on the door. And he said, it's his mother. The mother came to see how he was doing. And she got up in the morning, and she said, you know, something, she was very unquiet, very unsettled, and she had to know what was going on, and she came. And that was the only time the mother ever came visit him in yeshiva. She felt that something wasn't right with her son. It just, there's a sense that there's something different, there's something off, something wasn't right. Again, I don't know if that was Shlomo Hoffman talking or it was Simcha Stein talking, I'm not sure what it was, but that sense, that motherly intuition. And we see from here that some people think, this is the point again, people think they can lie, they can get away with it. Lo she'asr l'shaker. It's not that it's usher to lie. It's just, it's not going to work. You're going to be found out at a certain point. Okay, another example. We have over here from the Or HaChaim in Parshas Vayigash. It says over here, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and all the Mefarshim explain why was Yehuda coming to him. And they said that he's coming to talk with him, difficulty, or maybe he's coming to be a mechanef of him, trying to praise him. The Or HaChaim gives a number of perushim, but in one of them he says that Yehuda's purpose was to soften the cruelty over here, and he decided that based on the principle of kamayim panim lepanim, he would be successful if he was soft. And he began to work on the kochos hapnimim shalom. He began to try to schmooze with Yosef, try to get him to show love and to show favoritism. And through this way, he would have these feelings inside in order to have this love in a certain way. This is against our nature, right? That Bnei Yaakov are not going to go around loving Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But at the same time, he really wanted to come to love Yosef. So, and Yosef would have to feel love towards him. And that's why he thought he would be Matzliach, to be Mashpi on Yosef, to soften Yosef, so he would open up and to let Binyamin go. The Or HaChaim explains that it's not just over here that the act of the feelings transfer, but you're able to actually to work your feelings. You can change the way another person feels about you by kind of playing the system. By if you increase the love, you can turn a person around. You can play the room. You can walk into a meeting where there's a lot of animosity, and you can change and transfer the feeling in the room if you would just change the way you feel about that person and turn the whole room around. And you can awaken these feelings inside as well. If you love somebody, you hate somebody, somebody has a feelings, there's ein shum mikra ba'olam. If you walk into a room and someone has animosity towards you, or you feel like, I don't like this person, I met the person once, but like, I don't like it, then it's not by a chance, as Shlomo Hoffman. You have to figure out what exactly is going on, and then maybe that's the idea, Rav Isaac Scher, meaning Rav Isaac Scher felt ein mikra ba'olam. There's no chances. Something, I'm sitting at this point, I invest all these hours in this young man, There's got to be something there. It can't be for no reason. Okay. He talks here. He has a fascinating shot here in Sinas Chinam. How do we usually translate Sinas Chinam?
Baseless hatred.
Right? Our school will tell you it means baseless hatred. He says that's impossible. What do we see from here? There's no such thing as baseless hatred. That's not what it means. Kavana Chinam, that it's usher to lisno. It means that it's wrong. Sinas Chinam means that it's usher to hate a person, and the opposite of sina chinam is if there's a mitzvah or a hetzer to hate that person. And there's a lot of examples about this that can cause a person to hate. He says, for example, that you see somebody that reminds you of another person who's a Rasha, right? And it brings out a feeling inside of you. You don't know this person, but it brings out a feeling inside because it reminds you of somebody else. Or a person... an important person insults you, so you can't, I can't yell at that person, right? You know, the Rosh Hashiva does something that's bothering you. Important person in the community does something that upsets you. You're not going to lash out at the person in public. You're not going to make a scene. So what do? You have sinna. So what do you do with that sinna? What do when we have a bad day? We transfer it on the people beneath us, right? And we take it on other people. Now, I had a bad day at the office, and this client who was a jerk to me, I couldn't say anything to them because I need to finish this deal. I need to get through this. So I have this sinna. So what do? I take it out on somebody else, right? I take, but do you come out like a, he says, like a yelled katan, right? Like a small child, right? A small child is not going to lash out at the parent. They can't lash out at the most. So what do? They come home, they slap their sibling, right? Because they have this sinna, and they need to transfer it somewhere else. And so they try to have to do something with it. And it could be their person feels that maybe somebody hates you, and then I take that, kamayim panim lepanim. But the truth is that nobody hates you. You simply, you know, on that day, your boss, you know, fired you. So you take that feeling, and you send it towards another person as well. And he actually gives a list over here on the bottom over here of the other shim and other places where he elaborates more. Okay, let's just come to the end over here, and we'll summarize this point. No sebal mechavero. How does no sebal mechavero work? So he says the ikri yisod of no sebal mechavero is that it's not just a good idea. Not just, you know, somebody is home with the flu, so you're like, oh, I'm going to make them chicken soup because my mom is feeling that I like their pain. That's not what the point is, or it's going to help. He says the whole thing is the feeling of kamayim panim lepanim, and therefore, if you have a friend who's bitsara, even if I can't physically do anything, I can't give them money, and I can't drive them to the hospital, and I can't take care of their problems, right? But you know what I can do? I can be margishet. And if I'm margish and I feel another person, and I understand that person, that will give them koach, right? Even if they're on the other side of the world, even if they don't even see you, even if they don't talk to you, because the yachas harigashi, that emotional connection, that's the ikar koach of what you can do to a person. That's something very powerful. You can't go, and you're not going to fly to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to sit with a victim of a terror. You can't do it. You know what you can do is you can sit and you can feel for a moment and try to have an emotional connection to that person. And then, says Rosh Shlomo Hoffman, it will make a difference. In some small way, it will bring a feeling of love and help to that person, even though they never saw you, they never met you, they never did anything for you. You can make a difference there. And so what does that have to do with chinuch? This is a shmuz on chinuch, right? So he says, "Hayachas harigashi is the ikar hakol shel chinuch." The most important relationship aspect of chinuch is the emotional part of it. Hayachas ve'erachas she'ata makrin elav, that you are shining something towards them, and that you're creating it. He says over here, "His dahus pnimis l'ratzos la'asos l'yos kamocha." He says every person, the child, every person wants to be, wants to connect one in some way. He says in Slobodka, the altar of Slobodka would have very specific connections with the Bachram. And this kesher allowed him to create a special emotional, you know, transference with that Talmud, and that's how he had hashpa. The Alter Slobodka influenced the Rav Yaakov Kamenevskis and the Rav Rudermans and all the Talmudim who became Gedolim because first the emotional connection. And when you first have that emotional connection, then you can build the person up because he showed interest, he showed care, he was very connected to that person. He says this says something fascinating about psychology. He says this is what therapists do, right? He says a person goes to a therapist in the first session, at the end of 45 minutes, okay, you need to do A, B, C, and D, good, here's $100, please, no, have a good day. The therapist doesn't tell you how to fix your problems right away. What does the therapist do? The therapist first builds a connection, they get to know you, you feel comfortable with the therapist, they understand that you are, you know, dealing with them, they can deal with you, and they feel that they care about you, and then la'at la'at, over time, the therapist opens up and you can talk, and you can talk about the problems, things that could be helpful. But the most important thing is the relationship, if the person wants to grow. He says, this is the most important thing you're going to feel from the person, that he understands you, he pays attention to you, he has the patience for you, all these things. And when you're no se ba'ol, when you feel the tsar, and you identify with another person, their pain, so that creates a possibility that he can identify with you, and he might want to change. That's the best thing to do. If you want somebody to change, the first thing in the relationship is to open up and to connect to that person as well. Then, he says, they asked Rav Hoffman the following question. They said, in most cases, when you want to help a bachar, so more than giving them advice or ideas or solutions is you want to connect with them, right? Someone comes to you and says, well, it could be the office, it could be a child. The first thing is not to give a solution. This is just also generally in Shalom Bayis, like a very male problem, right? I think we all know this enough that, you know, the husbands generally want to fix the problem, right? They want to solve it, check off the list, and move on. And the wife wants that emotional connection, wants to talk about it, she wants to know you care about it. It's the same thing over here as well. So he says, how can I help a bachar? A young man comes to me and says, I'm having trouble with this sugya, this topic, this part of my life. So you're telling me, don't give him solutions. How am I going to help him if I'm just, you know, schmoozing with him and I'm just, you know, building that connection? So Rav Hoffman said, Bevadai, certainly. I'm going to show you that he brings here from Yisrael Salanter that the most important thing is Hakarna Shel Ishus is the personal connection. Essentially what he says is, he talks about Elul, okay? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is Elul, right? You know, we're screaming Elul, and it makes a big impact on people. So he makes a diuk. We're not going to read the letter so inside, but he makes a diuk. The Rabbi Yisrael is saying, the thing is not the Elul. It's not screaming Elul that makes a difference. It's that when the people see how you respond to Elul, when they see that the mothers and the fathers and how the Rosh Hashiva and the Mashkiach feels during Elul, that's what impacts them. That emotional transference of what Elul means to them. And it works for anything. Your child will see that when you go to an event, you go to a simcha, you go to a thing, and you come, they see your emotions, the emotions there that you feel at that event, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whether it's serious, they'll feel that more than whatever speech or talk that you give them. The emotional feelings of that event are the most important thing. He says, "Im ein shoresh, im ein yavo alin." So Rav Yisrael said, if there's no shoresh, if there's no roots, then where will the leaves grow? The shoresh are the emotions. On top of those emotions that you show, then the etzus and the advice and the different discussions will come. He says, the whole world knows the first two lines. Kol ha'olam yodim, es tu hashuros harishonos. He says, "Harbe mashkichim." What makes a person shudder? Elul, plates are shuddering, right? So he says, "Rabbi Saul is mechadish to us that it's not the words of screaming Elul; it's the personality, it's the ishios that make the biggest impact over here." And you see that a Rosh Yeshiva is says that Elul is chashuv, or the mashkiach says this is a chashuv thing. You sense that this is important to them, and the emas hamishpat and the din, all of that personality has the bigger hashpa than anything else. And Yisrael brings this out, and he brings this idea to us But the emes hamishpat, the fear of el, is what makes the biggest impact. And therefore, he says you have to understand. Then you sit with a bachar, you value him. You're machshav of the person. You sit with your child. You show your child. You value them. You're machshav of your child. You speak to them honestly in a real way, and you tell him, you know, what he's feeling. He'll open up to you. You're ma'orer of these positive feelings. Dal be mashpian them. And he says, even if you don't give a single piece of advice, you don't tell a person the single thing to do, you'll be fine. Okay? And even if in that meeting you have an emotional connection, even if you speak harshly with the person, but he knows that you care about him, lo yifka mimcha. He's not going to feel insulted because he knows that you care about him. If your kid knows that you care about him, you can say a lot of harsh things. Not that you should. But if your child knows that you really care, you really mean to them, you can speak to them in a way and it's not going to be insulting, because the most important thing is ha'ishus shalcha mashpia. Your personality and your neshama affect that person. And if you see that person is happy, and he goes on to explain as well, this is a lot, lots. Again, you'll open this up and he'll want to be like you. He'll want to come close to you. He'll want to have ashpana you as well. And this will have the biggest impact over here. One second. Okay, fine. We'll say one thing over here. We'll say one more story. He says that he tells the following thing. This is from his days of working in the jails. So Rav Shlomo Hoffman said, how far does it go, kamayim panim lepanim, that you can cause somebody to change their ways? So he said, let me tell you a story. When he was in the Beis Mishpat HaElyon, when he was in the courts. So he was with a young man, I'm not going to tell that. He goes on, essentially he says over here in the story that, without going into details, he says that there was with a young man, and he had a hashpa on him, and the guy was a career criminal, and he just showed that he cared about him. He didn't say anything to him, he didn't give any muscle, he just showed that he cared about him, and the guy turned his life around, and he had the biggest impact on him, and it's just because he cared about him. And he said, this ex-criminal said that just in the fact that you were the first person who was ichbasli, who cared about me, you were the first person who just was interested in me and wanted someone I had to feel and what I thought, that had the biggest impact on me in the world, and I turned my life around. That's the most important thing that's going to come out of these things. Okay, we'll stop here.
There's an incredible part of what Bianski says by Shibeno. We ended off the chasimas haroitzeh b'tshuva.
Yeah.
It says a very strange chasima. Usually the chasimas are like what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, or some type of siyata d'shmaya, and we're davening for him. Why the person, the one who wants tshuva?
Mm-hmm.
So he says because tshuva is something you have to do. And our tefillah is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us that he wants our tshuva, then we're going to
receive it. Beautiful. Excellent. Beautiful. Shkach. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay.